All right, here he is live in studio, as I promised, our good friend Roland Martin. We don't get a chance to get him live. We've had him on the program several times. But
I've been on here, I don't know, about four or five times.
Well, but not live in the studio with me.
Not live? Are we live?
No, we're not live, but we're as close to live.
That scares me. I mean, I can do stuff in the studio, but live? Wait a minute. Don't get me all involved with live.
You've only been doing television for almost 50 years.
But I can't do live. Live's a different animal. You can mess up and do all these crazy things when you're not live.
We're just talking about animals. It's funny you say that, because before we push the go button, you were talking to me about the fact that you've been bitten by ticks and deer ticks.
I go to Missouri every year. Yeah. Johnny Morris and all the guys with Ass Pro, and we hunt together. Jerry Martin, he's one of the big hunter guys. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I probably get 10 to 15 ticks a year on all parts of my body, some very embarrassing parts of my body, and very embarrassing removal situations.
Exactly. It's
very embarrassing. And yet, I'm so far, I'm Lyme disease free.
Okay,
now but that's an issue. That's an issue.
How could you not take precautions?
Oh well, I do. I put Peridome on in the mornings. I tuck my leggings into my boots, and I wear tight belts. So there's all precautions. But still, the ticks get there.
They get there.
They get there.
And the reason I'm telling you this, I just recently got bit.
Yeah.
And I went on a 21-day program and I didn't even know if it was a Lyme disease.
But did you just get that aurora? Did it open up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's the thing I look for. Every time they bite you, if you get that one-inch aurora-looking thing, that brown, kind of a black and blue thing,
I would agree
with you. That's a bad deal.
I would agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that I've had several members of the scientific community on this very program talking about Lyme disease and the fact that it is not just the bites that produce that red circle that could be a problem. So it's not 100% yet. Well, there is so much about Lyme disease that we're not really familiar with, and it's just a by guess, by golly. And I did not want to be one of those by guess, by golly guys.
You know, I got three of my good friends. You know Sam Heaton?
Sure.
Sam got Lyme disease and really had a problem. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he got over it. And also the boy from Pennsylvania, Randy Romig. Top pro guy.
Yeah.
And then some of the guys that I took a hint with up in New York, a couple of them had Lyme disease. But they've all gotten over it, so it's a big deal.
Well, that's good news. I mean, it can be brutal on some people, right?
Right.
And it usually is. It happens with people who have late detection, where it's been in your system for 6 months or a year before it manifests itself into something
I bet I've been bitten by no less than 500 ticks.
Get out!
No, really, I have.
Oh, that's insanity, man.
Well, I'm lucky maybe that I haven't got Lyme disease. Might not take care of it, but I watch for the signs.
It's nothing to fool around with. You need to take precautions, and all it takes is one bad bite and you're done. No, but anyways, that's not what we're going to talk about. I just wanted to
We're already talking about it.
I want to talk about you and the new you. I want to talk about the old you, which I met I don't know how many, maybe 25, 30 years ago at the Roland Martin Marina tournament Mercury put on that year. And we were fortunate enough to be involved in that. And that's where we first met. And I want to talk about the new you, the new dude, the YouTubist.
Oh, man. Hey, that's the coolest thing. That is the coolest thing. It has revitalized my whole interest in not only television in general or filming, but it's revitalized my interest in fishing. I'll tell you why. The YouTubers, guess what they want?
I would imagine they want information.
They want information, but mainly they want something about bass. They don't want me to catch a 1,000-pound bluefin tuna. They don't want me to catch a big 100-pound tarpon. That's things I like to do, and you like to do. We all like to do.
Yeah.
They want me to catch a 3-pound bass and talk about it and tell them exactly how I did it. That's so easy. It's like falling off a log. I can catch a 3-pound bass. I probably could have caught a 4-pound bass a few years ago, but now maybe I'm relegated to 3-pound bass. Doesn't make any difference because it keeps them happy. They just want to see me, and they want to know exactly what I do. And that's so easy. I'm an old school teacher. Actually, I was an Army officer in the military, and I ran a rifle range for a couple of years, and that was a big deal. I taught people how to fire rifles, how to train fire. And then I was actually a school teacher, a high school teacher. I taught algebra and general science. So teaching's my game. In all my formats in television for all these years, any kind of how-to is a piece of cake.
Well, you taught me, and I don't want to age you, but let me age you right now. You taught me as a young teenager, watching the Roland Martin show was like going to school. I remember even back then, the way you delivered your message was so clear and concise that I could go out after watching one of your episodes. I could go out and actually emulate you and catch fish, which was really cool.
You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't the best student in the whole world, but I did have a school teacher as a mother, and she taught speech and drama. And one of the things she just actually slapped me and whipped me about was my grammar, diction, and delivery. And if you notice, I have an inflection to my voice. It's exciting. I kind of project myself. And that's all learned at 4 years old. Wow. I mean, you know, it was like she wanted me to be able to project myself and communicate. And that's been a really big stalwart part of my career is the fact that I can communicate pretty well, at least talk about how to. I mean, I can present myself.
It doesn't hurt the fact that you're one of the winningest dudes on the planet when it comes to bass fishing.
That,
like, it doesn't
that
help.
Just,
that,
you just sets, that just sets a standard, and that just sets some credibility. But the fact that I won a big tournament doesn't mean anything more than the fact that I'm credible.
You know? Command attention, and that's one of the things, you know, I've been blessed to be with you on occasions at live events and watch you surrounded by your fans and audiences, and I see how they hang on every word. I see how when you talk, they listen, and that's key. And you're right. That might be part of the reason they listen is just the way you project.
Well, you know, you have to – okay, we're in front of the microphone, mm-hmm. and my excitement level and projection level of my voice is a little bit higher than just a minute ago we were sitting there talking about
the
fishing.
Boardroom. Yeah.
I was a little bit down, just, hey, Angelo, what's going on? And a little bit more monotone. I wasn't quite the enthusiastic speaker that I am now.
Is that a different Roland Martin?
Yes.
So
absolutely
there are
different. When the camera's on and I see that red light on, hey, I'm a different person. I got to do something.
And now the YouTube audience can take advantage
of
that.
Oh, yeah. And that's so cool. I tell you what I can do, Angelo. Some of the best videos I've ever done, I've taken a little bitty GoPro camera that you can buy for $300 or $400. I've set it on the desk and just turned it on. No microphone.
No cameraman.
No lights, no cameraman, no anything. I just sit there with, say, a plastic worm and say, hey, folks, hey, fellow YouTubers, let me show you some great tips on plastic worm fishing. And I'll go through 5 or 10 minutes of just instruction, just talking about the worm. And I get great numbers from it just in the simplest way.
Do you ever think that sometimes we, as personalities in this business, having done it for the length of time that we've been doing it, sometimes we forget that our audience, there's a new audience being born every day. There's new people coming into our industry every minute. There's a whole new demographics to talk to every second. But sometimes I become very complacent in the sense that I say, okay, I've talked about rigging a plastic worm Texas weedless style 100,000 times.
You know why I do it? You know why I do it? Every single day I read my comments. I do about 200 comments a day. I'll bet 75% of all
there's
those comments.
There's
Walt right
there.
We got to shut him down.
That's right.
But about 75% of them are say, thank you, Mr. Roland or Mr. Martin or thank you, Roland. And said, I've always wanted to know that. You're a great teacher. We appreciate your instruction. And it's simple stuff. It's like just take the worm and hook it right here. And it's just, and I show them. And it's just, they just eat that simple stuff up. It's third grade stuff.
Yeah.
But they appreciate it. They really do. And they commend me for it. They just give me accolades all the time and say, hey, keep up the good work. Keep teaching me stuff.
I think we take it for granted. We take it for granted that everybody knows this stuff, and they don't. You know, we go out every day, and we just perform. We have a ritual in front of a camera that you just go and do your thing. And sometimes we forget, and we're guilty of it, we forget that a lot of people coming into our world, whether it's through television or now the internet via YouTube, they don't know. They don't know why a fish bites. They don't know how to make a fish strike. They don't know how to tie line onto your hook or your lure. They don't know any of that stuff. And we need to get back into that mode, which you now are. Clearly, you're teaching mode again.
Well, I'm for two reasons I'm there. One is my son, Scott.
Yeah.
He's got 455,000 followers. Wow. And he said, Dad, you're going to need a social media platform. And the second reason why I'm in the social media is I had Bass Pro Shop and I had Favorite Rods and I had so a couple of people. They said, Roland, this is like 2 years ago before I started. They said, Roland, unless you get your social media numbers up, we're losing a little bit of steam on the regular television. We're going to maybe have to look at adjusting your contract
Ouch.
A little bit.
Ouch.
Just some. I mean, we're not going to fire you. Just have to kind of trim
Johnny,
a little bit.
Johnny Worse?
Trim.
Johnny
yeah,
Worse?
Well, not Johnny, but his yeah. people. We have to trim things. But so I said, okay, listen, hey, listen, give me 6 months to see what I can do. And I got with Scott, my son. He said, Dad, there's a formula for doing good YouTube. Let me explain. And he did explain what I needed to do to make a good thing. So I started off, and it took me a while to get to 10,000. Once I did, I got monetized. And just yesterday, well, I a big benchmark, but I'm well over 50,000 now with my YouTube subscribers, nice. And I'm only a year and a half into it. And making a few bucks in the process.
And I understand you're ahead of your old buddy. As
oh, well, that was one of the benchmark deals. Oh, Bill Dance, yeah. Sorry, Bill.
So, Roland, I often sit in the wee hours all by myself, and I do this quite probably more often than I should admit, but I'll reanalyze what I've done and where I am. And I always go back to that first moment where I was cognizant of the fact that I had chosen this particular path in life and that I was going to, you know, maybe succeed at what I was intending to do. Do you ever take yourself back there and say, man, did I ever get lucky at this moment because so-and-so or the situation or something happened that got you where you are today, that you can actually look back and attribute to what you've got today?
But when I was growing up, my parents said, first of all, that I ought to forget fishing.
No. Oh.
I mean, because dad was a hydraulic engineer, a doctor's degree in hydraulic, and he wanted to become an engineer. So I started college. I failed right out of engineering right off the bat.
That was a good sign that you needed to get into fishing.
So, well, then I got into like biological sciences, and after 6 or 7 years, I got an education. I did. I got a college education, but it was a struggle. It was a real struggle. So I was the black sheep of the family. Whenever time I'd go fishing, just every moment, my parents would say, there's no gain to this. You're not going to ever get ahead. You're just wasting your time. Now, my motivation, this is a little bit morbid, but my motivation came in the early 60s when I was in Brazil working down there with my parents because he was on aid on government aid, the AID program for in Brazil. That's the Alliance for International Development under Kennedy. But anyway, he was an engineer helping the Brazilian government design dams and hydroelectric power. And I was down there working down there in the American school as well. And so we got to know each other, and I became great friends with my dad again after so many years of being in the military and everything else. Coming back, now consider this. They thought I was the black sheep. And so I'd really not been a success up to that point. Well, there was a fatal car wreck. My mom and dad were killed. Now, that's kind of the end of that story. But then, as I look back, the couple of years later, I started getting ahead. Ray Scott introduced me to the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. I started winning tournaments. I got into television. I started making a success for myself. And the whole time, Angelo, I'm thinking, I wish I could prove and show my dead parents that I've been such a failure. They just consider me the biggest failure in the world. They'd call me the black sheep. My sister and brother, they also thought I could never be a success because I was just struggling with this fishing dilemma. Finally, I've succeeded in this fishing dilemma. I finally made it not only a passion, but an avocation and a living and a livelihood, and I've made a lot of money. I just wanted to prove to the whole family that don't even exist. They're not here now.
But it was enough of a motivation.
It was a motivation that I wanted to prove myself. And now the coup de grace is my sister and my brother pat me on the back. And, wow. And they finally, after 70 years, say, boy, you're the most successful person in this family. And it just makes me feel so good because I was such a black sheep all my life.
Isn't that wonderful? What a great story. There's a couple of great stories that always originate around you when I spend some time with you. I want to talk about a couple of them here in a moment. But it's you're... And I alluded to this earlier on. When you talk, people listen. And I don't know what it is, even if they're not into fishing, by the way. It doesn't necessarily just include the fishing fraternity. Just people listen. And it's just the way you present yourself, the way you talk, all that great stuff. I remember some stories of Roland Martin. One, I'm going to go back about, 15, 16 years ago. You might correct me on this one. We were having dinner one time, you and I. I was down at the ICAST show. I think it was in Orlando, or it could have been Vegas, one of the two. And you and I had an occasion just to break bread. And you said to me, I haven't told anybody yet, but I'm going to make the announcement. I'm going to get out of tournament fishing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I gave up that. I actually retired three different times.
Oh, I know. This was the very first time that you actually decided you were going to get out of tournament fishing. And it's a fascinating story. I tell people this all the time. It just blew me away. And you told me that you were getting out of tournament fishing because the first thing I said, what are you, crazy? You're just getting into your prime. What are you talking about getting out of tournament? I just don't see fish the way I used to see them. I thought, well, that's kind of weird, you know? I said, well, get some glasses. I don't know. You having sight problems? Like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And I remember, like, it was yesterday. You said, no, you know, I could be ripping across the lake at 80 miles per hour in my bass boat, and I could look over my shoulder and look into a Fireback Bay, and I could see that there was fish there. I could sense it, and then I'd pull over, and sure as heck, there was fish there. And lately, the fish aren't there anymore.
I see patterns. I wrote a book on 101 patterns.
I'm going to stop you for one second because we're going to take a quick break, but I want to come back on the other side with that whole pattern fishing thing can. You're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and my very special guest today is none other than Roland Martin, the legend himself. More journal after this, don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. You're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio right here on 590 The Fan. Stephen Labadie behind the glass as per usual. Derek Brandeo and Jessica Ellis on the board, keeping us straight and narrow today, and I'm very fortunate to have a very dear, good old friend of mine, finally live in studio, not live, but live, but here in the studio. I can touch and feel him. None other than the legend himself, Roland Martin.
Hey, I've been here a bunch of times.
I know. Yeah,
I've been here. This isn't my first time, but I'm glad we're not live because that scares me.
That scares the hell out of you. And I was just before the break, I was relaying a story to the audience about the time you told me that you were going to stop tournament fishing. And to me, I mean, it was like devastating. The thought of Roland Martin not fishing tournaments anymore, it was unthinkable. And you told me you couldn't see the fish. You didn't mean that you couldn't see them.
Well, my whole life I've built around pattern. I'm the first pattern fisherman. I wrote a book on 101 bass catching secrets, and I've been always promoting patterns. And so as I run down the lake and I can't see them, I can't see the pattern. I mean, in other words, when I was really in my prime, I'd run down the lake and I'd see a beaver that had cut down a tree. And I'd say, oh, I know that's going to be a good flipping pattern with my blue and black jig. I'm going to go over there and catch a fish. And sure enough, I would. But sometimes you finally lose the confidence of looking at that exact set of water and cover conditions that drive that pattern. And you think, I don't know what the water temperature, I kind of lost track of the day, and I don't know what's going on here. And so I'd be a little confused about what I was looking for. You have to look for a certain set of water cover conditions. You have to always thinking about that on your mind. So as I run down the lake at 60 miles an hour, I have to be constantly thinking of opportunities, constantly looking at dead fall trees, looking at a point of rocks, looking at my depth finder as I go across a shoal or a creek channel. And so all these things are instant recognition. Okay, that that's a pattern there. I see it. I see it. I see that ledge, and I even see the fish. There's what I see. I see the pattern.
Yeah. And when you thought you were losing that, you needed to get away from the competitive nature of the beast, right? We know you since came back. You said two other times.
I know.
Retired. Always done well.
Retired to come back.
Always done well. And now, you know, you really owe your whole existence, and that's why it was such a shock to me when the first retirement announcement came out. You owe, in my opinion, your whole existence to tournament fishing. Well, because back then, Ray Scott, yourself, all of the other Forest Wood.
But a lot of that was, I learned early on in my success in tournaments that it was nothing more than just to build credibility. And that it was a springboard of opportunity. Because as soon as I started winning tournaments and started really getting ahead in the game, I wasn't thinking about more tournaments. I was thinking about how I could start a marina, which I did, how I could write a book, how I did.
Did you ever?
How I could become an outdoor writer, which I was, which I am. I could start a television show, which I did. So, I mean, all these things are parts of the springboard of opportunity.
You were there when all of this great technology was first introduced. You know, the electric trolling motor. All of these wonderful things that we take for granted today. When you look at today's technology and how it's evolving and changing at such a great speed, do you ever say to yourself, man, if I had those tools, the tools that we have today, if I had them 40 years ago, I'd have taken on the world. You ever get that feeling?
Yeah. But still, even with modern technology,
GPS, just simple things like GPS.
Even without GPS, I'm telling you, really good fishermen can still catch fish. And a good example is Kevin Van Dam.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Kevin Van Dam has all the tools and he has all the maps and all the GPSs that there are. But you know what his strength is? Running and gunning a fast pattern. He gets that boat going, and he sees those fish again. He sees that pattern. He's running down the lake. He's capitalizing on opportunity. Yeah. And let me talk about luck for just a second. Luck, we all hope that some way during the day we're going to have some luck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're properly prepared and you have all the say there's a schooling time of year and you say, okay, I'm going to have a special lure just for schooling fish. Okay, you know that there's maybe a crankbait fish. You have the right crankbait laying out. Maybe there's the right worm. So you have all these five or six things laying out on the boat ready to just capitalize on opportunity, capitalize on the luck that may or may not occur. Now, as a really good fisherman, a really good fisherman recognizes that little splash in the distance and says, that might be a school of fish. I'm going to run over there, and sure enough, it's a school of fish, and he wins the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Kevin Van Dam for you. That's what I was when I was on the top of my game. I'd recognize these little opportunities. Everybody has opportunity, and it's luck. Everybody sees luck, but the people that capitalize on the luck and actually take advantage of those little opportunities are the ones that win.
Is Kevin Van Dam the younger version 0.2 of Roland Martin?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, I put it on Scott, my son,
your
as
son
well.
Scott,
you know, there's a number of really, really hot fishermen. There's a Jacob Wheeler now that's really hot. I've fished with Jacob a lot. Again, these guys are strictly good pattern fishermen. They're recognizing and seeing things just the instant that happens, and right away they're throwing to that little swirl of that could be a school of fish, and they're not missing any of that. I mean, you have to be observant and ready to go, and you have a lot of different things going on, and they take advantage of it.
One time I was fishing with you, you won't remember this because this happens to you every day, but for me, you know, a lot of things that happened while you and I shared the front of a boat were burned into my psyche. Fishing with you one time on a lake in Quebec, I believe it was, Beauchesne Reserve, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that. So we're
that was a good lake.
That was a great lake.
So all that fog, remember that fog?
No, that was on Temagami.
Oh, that was Temagami. We'd lost in the fog,
exactly.
And we didn't even know where we were. And we're catching fish like crazy.
That
we're
is
just
a
lost,
great story, by
lost
the way.
In the fog.
But anyway, this particular one, we're on this little reserve in Quebec, and it might have been the first time that Roland and I ever fished together. And we're on the bow of the boat, and we're casting. We're fishing for smallmouth, and he's out fishing me as usual, about 100 to 1, you know. And at one point, we're throwing spinnerbaits. It was a simple bite. It was the most simple. It was a pre-spawn pattern the fish were really agitated and active in shallow water. All you had to do was throw a white spinnerbait in their face, and they were going to bite. And Roland is just getting fish after fish after fish. And finally, I said, all right, let me, I said to myself, not to you. I said to myself, all right, I got to pay more attention to what he's doing. I got to pay more attention to how he's throwing that spinnerbait. I got to pay more attention to everything about the spinner. So after about, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, I finally got down to saying to you, Roland, can I have a look at that spinnerbait that you're throwing? You said, sure. And you kind of retrieved it, held it up. I said, well, you're using a 3/4 ounce spinnerbait. Like, why would you be using that heavy of a spinnerbait? And you said, it's very simple. He says, so that I can outcast you,
yeah.
You fool. And you were getting to the fish before I was.
I was another 10 feet.
Exactly.
Another 10 feet makes a big
an
difference.
An extra 10 feet with that 1/4 ounce, and it was great. I said, yeah. Wow, it's right. That simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, spinnerbait fishing, that's an opportunity. It's that reaction strike, of course.
Oh.
And so those bass are laying on those rocks and spawning beds and all those little docks and
yeah.
logs and it's a reflex action. Yeah, whatever hits the first. And so
and that's when I knew that Roland Martin is always on call. He doesn't take a day off. It doesn't matter that we're really not. This is not a tournament. You're not competing against me, but yet yeah. you were competing against
well,
me in the
I
same
compete
boat.
Against myself. I mean, every time I go fishing, I want to catch actually more fish than I did the day before. You
and
know?
That's what makes you who
yeah,
you
yeah,
are.
And it's just, you know, I don't think we're ever satisfied. Every time I go to a tournament, for example, and I do pretty good, and maybe even win the tournament, I say, you know, I could have caught more fish. And I always say I could have caught more fish. I should have done such and such. If I just set the hook a little better, made a cast and run to that other little cove that I never did go to. You know, and I always second guess myself and I sit there and my wife gets so mad at me. Judy says, you won the tournament or you came in second. What are you so upset about? I said, I could have done better. I could have done better.
Have you ever said to yourself in a fishing scenario, man, am I ever good? Am I ever good?
No,
I just hit
no,
the
I don't
park.
Say that. I'm never satisfied with myself.
Wow.
I'm really not.
Wow.
I'll make it what I call a perfect cast, and I'll say, that was pretty good, but I think I can do better. I'm really never really satisfied.
You are a machine. You are a machine. You're a fishing machine. Aside from being a fishing legend, I have
now,
been
now,
on.
Now, I anticipate. Here's where I get my motivation. I'm anticipating each and every cast, and I really kind of force myself to think of the next cast. And I'm not really thinking about outfishing you. I'm thinking about I'm going to catch a big, big bass. I mean, I really want to catch maybe the biggest one of the day. And it's going to be the biggest one of the day. So and in that anticipation, I know it's a little bit of a dream, and it's a little bit of a, you know, kind of a twisted thought that I'd catch a big fish every cast. But if I keep that motivation like that, then when I get one, that anticipation level is so high, and it's such a it's so rewarding.
And yet,
you know?
And yet, when you get a big fish, you are so genuinely pumped.
Oh yeah,
it was almost like it was a surprise. But what you're telling me is that it's not a surprise because you're imagining that big fish every time you put a cast out there.
I'm an old man. I'm not going to say how old, but I'm quite old. I am quite old. You know what? When I get ready to fish, even making a YouTube video or going to a tournament or just wanting to go fishing the next day, I have a hard time sleeping. Now at my age, I think about the next day. I'm anticipating catching a big fish or catching a whole bunch of fish for the next day. And any fishing trip, I'm you really eat up. I'm the consummate eat up fisherman. I mean, I just really want to do better, and I want to catch more fish, and I want to go every day.
Whether it's YouTubers or anybody watching television, no, they're so they have no idea how lucky they are that you have kind of moved into their space right now. And I'm talking YouTubers in particular. Yeah. They have no idea how lucky you are because, you know, you mentioned you're old, you're getting old. We're all getting old. But the one thing that you still do well is communicate. You're at the right. top of your game in terms of communication. So here's the way I look at it for YouTubers. They get all the benefits of having, and we won't say how old you are, but having several decades of hands-on experience. And they're now being able to sit down and watch it being communicated with one of the best communicators in the business, which you are. And nobody else can touch you there. Well, nobody else can come into that space with you.
One thing I'm doing that the other YouTubers might not be doing, I'm trying a different approach. I'm trying like a humble approach. You know, I could wear a shirt that had a million patches on it, talked all about the great things I've done in my life. I could be running a boat that cost $100,000 and bragging about that. But instead, I choose to maybe just wear a T-shirt, throw a simple lure that maybe I made myself, and maybe fish out of a little John boat that I put my own little deck on. I'm a very humble YouTuber. Now, you have to understand, YouTube is one audience. Like we talked about, it's usually the younger audience. They don't want a bunch of pizzazz. They don't want a bunch of, you know, a bunch of bragging. They just want the how-to. Now, the other side of the coin is the television audience that we've been working with for, in my case, 42 years. They want something more sophisticated. They want that big 21-foot Triton, and they want to see what it'll do, and they want to see all my good lures from Bass Pro Shop and all my rods from Favorite. And I show that as well. That's a whole different audience, It's a 15- to 40-year-old group on the YouTube side, and then it's much older level group on the other side. And they're buying boats, and they want a whole different ballgame.
And that's what I talked about earlier, right? That's another Roland. And the question would be, like, do you have a hard time distinguishing between the two? Is it a soft line? Is it a hard line?
I mix it up. I mean, I mix up a little bit of this, that, and the other, but I notice that, number one, the YouTubers want bass. They just want bass. Mm-hmm. They don't want these big, glorious saltwater fish. They don't care about them. Number two, they'd rather have a pond or a bank approach than they would a fast boat running 80 miles an hour down the lake. They, because most of them really don't have fish. Big, fast boats.
Right. They just don't fish.
And so bank fishing is kind of a really cool deal for the YouTuber. Mm-hmm. And then they want a simple approach. They want me to tell them the five best ways to rig a plastic worm because they're not really sure. They might know one or two of them. Mm-hmm. But to know all five, hey, that's a pretty big deal. So the more how-to I bring to the table,
the better off.
And the more humble I am, and the simpler I approach it, the better I do.
How long do you think we are going to have the benefit of a Roland Martin teaching us?
Well, that's the neat thing about YouTube. I was showing you my revenues and my like the good shows that I've done, say, a year and a half ago when I started. They're still actually producing revenue and actually producing a lot of views. I got that one view. Remember this last month, I got like 10,000 views on a video I did almost a year ago.
Yeah.
This month. So the more I do these blockbuster videos for YouTube, I could be dead and gone. In 10 years from now, they'd still be playing on YouTube and I'd probably be still.
I have a feeling.
You know what I mean?
I have a feeling that you'll be there more than 10 years from now. Still doing your thing. I cannot see an end to this insanity called Roland Martin. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I tell you what YouTube's done for me. It's given me a whole new outlook on film work, and it's made me really work hard. I'm filming now 4 days a week instead of 1 day a week, and I'm actually fishing more. I'm healthier now because I'm really have more direction, and I'm really working really hard, and I really enjoy. I'm serious, Angelo. I really enjoy doing these how-tos. It's so neat to tell people that, and they're on their comments are saying thanks. And so the more they say thanks for me helping them out, the more I want to do it.
They're feeding you, right? You feed off of that. Of helping people.
And it's just simple stuff. They say thanks for being the teacher that you are, and I am basically a teacher. So easy for me to do, and it's so rewarding for me to do that.
Well, my friend, I need to say thanks to you. Who in part I owe my career to. As I told you, when I was a kid, it was Roland Martin. You motivated me enough to go through that struggle, convincing parents that you should fish and not go to school. Okay, so just so that you know,
I was there.
You're responsible for this, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being able to call you my friend. I want to thank you for all the countless days that we've spent on a boat together and telling stories and having a great time. And more importantly, I want to thank you for coming on this program and talking to us today. It's an absolute thrill. every time I see you and talk to you.
Where do I send my bill? Do I send it? Hey, that's the one thing. You treated to dinner last night. I treated for lunch today. What am I treat for dinner tonight?
We'll flip for it.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Roland, thank you very much. The legendary, the one and only Roland Martin. What can I say? More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.